This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Losers, in other words.
On WGR, hey. Sports Radio 550.
Joe, did you grab that Jeopardy answer that I mentioned?
Oh, it's coming.
Okay, good. Stay tuned for a pretty terrible answer question, whatever, on a recent Jeopardy episode. Speaking of Jeopardy, what will happen with Aaron Rodgers? Thank you. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. Pleased, as always, to be joined by Mark Schofield. You can find Mark on Twitter, at Mark Schofield, USA Today, Touchdown Wire, frequent radio guest, cat photos, Yacht Rock. It's all just a wide array of subjects Mark is knowledgeable about. Does the Yacht Rock reference seem just like obligatory at this point, Mark, when you come on our show? Like, he's going to mention that and we'll laugh for like 10 seconds?
Yeah, it actually does. And I figured I was going to have to, you know, make sure I had a Yacht Rock reference ready in the holster. But when you mentioned Jeopardy, and I'm pretty sure I know the question that you're referring to, that 800-degree question.
Yes.
Which I stumbled across today and could not believe that answer. I could not believe it. I don't want to spoil it for the gentle listeners, but it's incredible.
All right. Thank you for...
Wow. I don't know what we're talking about, which is not a first by any means.
Just, you know, just a... Bad job by a contestant is all.
Okay.
Well, you know, I mentioned Rodgers just trying to be clever, like his having hosted Jeopardy. Mark, like, what happens at this point? We've been hearing about how apparently the Packers and Rodgers have been at odds for more than a year. They just had the draft. That's when we all found out that this was all happening. And it seems pretty extreme, but the Packers weren't willing to make the move there. So what do they do now?
I still think that they will move him. It does certainly seem like this relationship is fractured beyond repair. All the reporting that's coming out, the references to Jerry Krause and group chats, Rodgers apparently telling potential free agents that he's not going to be there next year. I don't see how you patch that relationship back together. You know, and you look at Green Bay drafted a quarterback last draft. They actually traded up to get him. Jordan Love, the quarterback in Utah State. I'm reminded a lot of the statement, the quote from Tom Brady Sr. when he was asked about Tom Brady during the end of Tom Brady's time in New England, and he said it's going to end and it will probably end badly. This is what we're starting to see more and more with veteran quarterbacks. You know, they want to play until their late 30s, until their early 40s, but the teams have to prepare themselves for a potential falling off a cliff situation. They have to prepare themselves for life after the quarterback, and it creates tension between player and organization. So I don't see how this gets put back together at this point, given everything that's come out. It will probably be a post-June 1st trade because of the contract implications and because of the negotiation leverage that the Packers will have before then and after then. But I can't see him coming back to Green Bay. I do think you keep an eye on Denver. They didn't draft a quarterback. Mm-hmm. They've got Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater, but they have all those weapons. They passed on Justin Fields. They passed on Mac Jones. They've been the team that's been rumored to be, you know, closest to a potential deal, you know, depending on who you listen to. Mark Schiller said it was pretty much a done deal right before the draft. So I would keep an eye on Denver. But, yeah, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing in Green Bay anytime soon.
I agree with all that. Not that it matters a whole lot, Mark. But how much of a case does Rodgers have? Like, is he justified in being upset because they drafted Jordan Love last year, or do you think he's being too much of a prima donna?
I mean, honestly, I'm more in the latter camp right there. I understand why he might feel, you know, a little bit put off by the fact that they traded him for Jordan Love, but he has to understand, you know, quarterbacks winning MVPs in their late 30s, it's, you know, pretty rare. I mean, maybe we'll see it more and more. You know, we obviously see Tom Brady come off a Super Bowl, Rodgers having the year he had. But they have to prepare for life after him. You don't want, as an organization, to have that situation where the quarterback just does fall off that proverbial cliff, and now you're chasing the quarterback of the future from behind. You're in a tough situation. The way the Packers addressed it, you know, they traded up for Jordan Love in the first round a couple of spots. They tried to get ahead of schedule rather than behind schedule, because if you're behind that quarterback schedule and then you have to trade up in the future to go get a quarterback, you're going to have to pay extra in terms of draft capital. By doing it when they did, they gave themselves some room, and they drafted a quarterback that most people thought was going to need a year or two anyway. It wasn't like they drafted somebody that people said was pro-ready right now. And they've also put help around them. They've put help around Aaron Rodgers. I know they have drafted a first-round quarterback, but Davante Adams is one of the best receivers in the game. First-round wide receiver, excuse me. They've put a good offensive line in front of him. They hired an offensive-minded head coach that put him in a scheme that allowed him to be an MVP last year. And let's not forget, before his MVP year last year, there were some – you could make the argument that he wasn't really played well from a production, from an output, from a metric standpoint. Yep. Mm-hmm. Rodgers had kind of slid a bit. And so they were perhaps, as an organization, preparing themselves for that moment. So I would be more in that latter category. I understand, look, your team drafts somebody that was going to take your job. That might rub you the wrong way. But still, you have to go out and prove you can still do it. I think I would have more of a case for being in Rodgers' camp if, after his MVP season this year, this was the year they traded up for a quarterback, rather than last year when it was still, you know, a little shaky what he was doing.
You know, I wonder if maybe the performance that you talk about from 2019, coupled with maybe what they were bracing for as far as a contract ask goes, sort of pushed them to want to be prepared, because they might have felt like he is dropping off and he's going to ask to be paid more than anyone in the league because he's Aaron Rodgers, and that might not be, you know, sensible to us.
Yeah. I mean, as an organization, you know, you've got to get 53 guys on the field, your best 53 out there. I mean, I know Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks to ever play at the position. I get it. But if you've seen 2017, he has had the injuries, the collarbone, the dip in production, the wonders about, well, maybe he hasn't come together. You know, they get rid of Mike McCarthy, and there are questions about, well, maybe it was the offensive play calling. Or maybe not. So they, as an organization, had to prepare themselves for the potential fact that, nope, the cliff is here. Rodgers just craters as a quarterback. And if you haven't addressed the potential future at the position, now you've probably lost 2 or 3 years. And that failure to be prepared for that, that's what gets general managers fired. And so they've got to do what they have to do as an organization to get them ready for that potential situation. You look at Tom Brady. The Patriots drafted a quarterback pretty much every other year they had Tom Brady. Now, some years it was, you know, your flyers like on a Ryan Mallett or Danny Etlett in the 7th round. But look, Jacoby Brissett, they drafted him fairly early. And, of course, Jimmy Garoppolo. And so organizations have to prepare for the future with veteran quarterbacks. It's just part of the game now. And maybe that rubbed Rodgers the wrong way. Okay, but that's life as a quarterback when you're 37, 38 years old.
Yeah. Does Denver become instantly a contender, a team that can challenge KC for AFC West superiority if they land Aaron Rodgers?
I think so. I mean, you look at the weapons that they have on offense. You know, they've got Cortland Sutton. They've got, who's going to be coming off an injury. They've got Jerry Jeudy. They've got KJ Hamler, Noah Fant, the tight end. They add Javonte Williams, the running back in the 2nd round of this draft. And then you put Aaron Rodgers in them with those weapons. I think it's certainly an offense that could be competitive, that could put up points in a bunch from a down-to-down, game-to-game, drive-to-drive basis. There will be some questions, obviously, on the defensive side of the ball. Vaughn Miller is coming off of the injury there. But they made some additions in the secondary that certainly looks like they're a team that's trying to get ready to, how are we going to handle Kansas City when we have to play them twice a season? They added Patrick Surtain in the 1st round. They added Kyle Fuller at corner. They brought Justin Simmons back. And so it does look like the big question in Denver right now is quarterback. Does Drew Locke take the step forward, or are they going to have to go with Teddy Bridgewater? But you slide number 12 into that offensive huddle, And that's suddenly a team that not just put up points, but might be able to stop some good offenses given the additions they've made in the secondary. And so I think, yeah, if you add Aaron Rodgers into that mix, Denver's going to make some noise in the AFC West for sure.
Mark Schofield, our guest, long ago in the conversation, you mentioned the point about Tom Brady's dad and sort of the feeling that this is just how it has to end with certain quarterbacks at a certain level, maybe. And I think I read that Rodgers is one of five players to have won three MVP awards. The other four guys all ended their careers with different teams. Rodgers is the only one. Manning, Brady, Favre, and Unitas ended up going to different teams for different reasons. So it can seem like this is sort of normal if Rodgers does move. One thing that I think about, so Denver didn't draft a quarterback. Maybe they're sort of leaving room for him. Carolina was the same thing. Carolina did trade for Darnold previously and then gave him the fifth-year option. But still, like, you move things around for a player like Rodgers. Mark Watson is still somebody that this has to get figured out for, too. And the first thing, the ongoing thing, of course, is the legal situation that he's in. And I'm not here to make a prediction about that, but, well, I guess I'll say something. Like, I feel like probably he'll be suspended for some amount of time, but who knows? It's just a meaningless guess. Still, though, we know he didn't want to play for Houston anymore anyway. He probably doesn't, but he plays somewhere else. I mean, I would think he's going to be in the league. And so I wonder how maybe those teams or others are still sort of proceeding here with respect to him.
Yeah, you know, that's sort of the elephant in the corner of the room, right? Because all the lead up until this legal situation started to unravel in Watson's lap was the idea that, look, that relationship was also fractured beyond repair. I remember saying that with you guys a couple of months ago, that there's no way he's coming back to Houston. And look, what did the Houston Texans do when they finally were on the clock in the third round? They drafted a quarterback. And whether you think Davis Mills can be an NFL starting quarterback or not, the fact that they went quarterback when they have so many needs on that roster right now tells you that internally they probably think that even if Watson's cleared to play at some point, he's not coming back to play for Houston. So I do think a team like Carolina, who was rumored to be in the Deshaun Watson mix before this went down, yes, they traded for Sam Darnold, but I don't think they can go all in on Sam Darnold being the savior down in Carolina. I think if it's similar to the Rodgers discussion, if you have an opportunity to acquire a player of Deshaun Watson's talent, then you will go down that path. Obviously, teams that would be calling about Deshaun Watson, they're going to have this legal situation in the back of their mind. Does that impact his value? Can you make this trade as an organization before this is resolved? Those are some things that those are decisions that will be made by people above my pay grade, believe me. But I do think that the Watson situation, if it does get resolved and he's allowed to return to the field, a lot of ifs there, certainly then Houston will look to move him because having drafted a quarterback, given everything that was said prior to this legal situation unfolding, I don't see him going back to Houston, much like I don't see Rodgers going back to Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you see the AFC? Obviously, Rodgers is a wild card there. If he gets moved to Denver or even the Raiders have been mentioned, it changes the fortunes for those teams. But how about some other teams? I mean, we'll get to the Bills here eventually and what they did in the draft and what you think of that. But how about Miami? How about Cleveland as far as, like, what they've done? I see them getting a lot of credit, especially for remaking their secondary. It feels like they might be a team to be reckoned with this year.
Yeah, I really like what Cleveland did. And the number of Twitter DMs, text messages, texts from family members saying, you know, are the Browns going to win the Super Bowl? I mean, there's a lot of excitement about what they did this offseason. You mentioned the secondary. Greater than, you know, Josh Johnson, the safety. Huge acquisition for them. I think they were a defense last year that they had a bunch of safeties, but nobody could really be that sort of middle-of-the-field post-safety type player, and they just added that in Johnson, who was a tremendous acquisition for them. They're going to get Grant Delpit back. They add Troy Hill. And then to continue with that into the, you know, the draft cycle, adding Greg Newsom, the Northwestern corner, who's more of a zone coverage guy, but he has the ability to click and close on routes, to drive on plays, make disruptive plays in the catch point. He's got a bit of an injury history, but that's a secondary now that can match up with some of the elite passing offenses that they'll see in the AFC, whether it's Kansas City, whether it's Buffalo. that ability to sort of create create matchups on the defensive side of the ball. That's huge for them. And then added Jeremiah Owusu-Komorah, the linebacker from Notre Dame, who they could use as a safety. They could use in the slot. He's played all over the place. I really like what Cleveland did. You know, other teams that also, you know, made a good use of their draft capital over the draft weekend, sure. You could make a case for the Jets. You could make a case for the Dolphins. You could make a case for any number of teams. But I really like where the Browns have put themselves over the course of both free agency and now the draft.
Do you think New England is a playoff team?
Could they be? Yes. What does it come down to? Quarterback. I mean, period, full stop. They've made some acquisitions. We know all about them, the receivers they added, the tight ends they added, the players they're getting back on the defensive side of the ball. But you can have all these weapons around the quarterback position, but if you can't get consistent, solid quarterback play in this league the way it's set up today, you're not going to be a successful team. And so whether that's Cam Newton, whether it's Mac Jones, that remains to be seen. I think the roster outside of quarterback is a playoff roster. But quarterback is like half the battle here in today's NFL. And if they get the same level of play from Cam that they got last year, I don't think they can get into the playoffs. Now, could it get close? Perhaps. Could they perhaps steal a game that they might have lost last year, given the additions of talent at the other positions? Perhaps. But I do think that it's really going to come down to whether they can get sustained, consistent production out of that quarterback position. And I'll have to see it before I buy in on it, because Cam was very high variance last year. And then when you talk about dropping a rookie quarterback in, potentially, that could go a couple of different ways. There might be some bumps along the road. And so the roster outside of quarterback seems to be playoff ready, but they got to figure that piece out.
Well, the Bills are the favorite, of course, in that division. And we saw all three of the other teams make interesting moves at the draft, and Miami making all the trades before the draft with their draft slot. How solid a favorite are the Bills to you, Mark? I mean, last year was so impressive, but they're still pretty new among the league's elite. So do you see them as a very solid favorite or what?
I still see them as a very solid favorite, because I think – they were able to basically get the band back together. And anytime you can do that as an organization, that tells you that the players have bought in. That tells you that the talent is there. You know, they nibbled around the edges of free agency, but mostly it's bringing players back. The acquisitions they made in the draft up front, obviously Gregory Rousseau, Carlos Basham, they're going to help you get after the passer. And I think you could find situational roles for those guys to certainly contribute next year. But I still think, look, Miami has a question about the quarterback position. The Jets, as much as I like what they did in this draft, you're going to be starting a rookie quarterback. And New England, we just talked about them. There are still questions there. Buffalo is still a solid favorite in this division. You're going to have to see vast improvement of quarterback play for any of the other three teams for them to truly contend. I think the closest would be New England, but I still think that sitting here right now, start of May, Buffalo is your favorite in the AFC. And one of the three teams that I would honestly look at in the AFC to say, yeah, I could certainly see them make it a run to a Super Bowl.
Along with Kansas City and Baltimore?
Kansas City and Cleveland right now.
Okay.
Kansas City and Cleveland are the three teams that I really like right now. I know there's still – Baltimore had a very Baltimore Ravens draft. I mean, to get Odafe Owe, the pass rusher from Penn State, I thought that was a great pick for them. Rashad Bateman was a bit of a surprise. I know a lot of people thought that they would go wide receiver in the first round, and they did. And I do think he's a nice addition for them. You know, you look at Ben Cleveland, the guard from Georgia. I think he's a nice Ravens pick for them. But I'm still – look, Greg Roman is going to have to adapt better as a play caller. He did a great job 2 years ago, but it seemed like teams really sort of figured them out last year. And so I'm a bit more hesitant on them, much more optimistic on the other three teams, Buffalo, Cleveland, and Kansas City right now.
Did you think the Bills should have maybe done more to – I mean, the offense was great, but, you know, I think Sean McDermott said it before the draft, or said some point in the offseason, like, work on your fastball. And we spent a lot of time talking about running back and Travis Etienne. Receiver was an idea, and they didn't do anything really for that. I mean, they drafted linemen, of course, but they drafted a receiver in the sixth round. Do you think they should have grabbed somebody that could have supplemented what they already have at receiver?
I mean, the Stevenson selection in the sixth round, I mean, he can do one thing but do it extremely well, and that's beat you deep. And speed kills even in today's NFL. Everybody wants to get fast, but he's a guy that can certainly give you that over the top of the defense. And so I think adding him into the receiver room, I'm not going to be shocked when they carve out a little niche role for him on some sub packages, some, you know, spread packages to get him the ball over the top. This was a team that was really close last year. They didn't have a ton of needs with all the people they brought back. You know, you might have said, oh, well, what about, you know, tight end position? Well, it wasn't the greatest tight end class to begin with after Kyle Pitts. Quentin Morris, the guy that they signed out of Bowling Green, you know, maybe there's some potential there. They didn't have a ton of needs. And so I know we mentioned running back, perhaps Travis Etienne and Najee Harris. Those guys were off the board. I think with what they did to sort of bolster up front, we all saw the Super Bowl, right? How Tampa Bay was able to get after Patrick Mahomes and what he looked like when he was under pressure. So maybe the fact that, look, they went pass rush with their early picks tells you that, look, that's where they feel they have to address. They have to make sure they can get after Patrick Mahomes when they face Kansas City next year, because we saw what pressure and consistent pressure did to him in the Super Bowl. And so, look, the draft is one of those times where teams can't just, you know, give you coach speak or general manager speak. They have to affirmatively make picks, and those picks tell you how they feel about their roster. They went after the pass rush early. That tells you that the Bills think that they're pretty close, but they got to get after Mahomes next year when they face him.
Mark, informative and entertaining as ever. Any questions for us today? One-way traffic here.
Well, my biggest question is this. Are you guys excited to talk about the 2022 draft yet? Because that's what seems everybody else is excited
no.
to talk about.
I don't know. I don't know the
That's
first.
The right answer.
I don't know the first thing about it. Wait, I do know one thing about it. In terms of, like, as a fantasy player, this year I'm supposed to be blown away, and next year, because next year is a big drop off, a quarterback at least. I don't know about the other skill positions. Like this year seems like an especially fabulous year for elite skill players, and maybe next year isn't.
Yeah, next year's quarterback class, it might be very different in that it won't be, like, star-heavy at the top, but it might be a better class overall. Like, it might be deeper. Like, you might see, like, some more excitement about guys, say, on day two, day three. But, again, it's a year out. We've got a lot of football left to be played. And anytime you see a very early mock draft, just take a look at it and ignore it, because it's bound to be wrong, just like mine was last year. So,
you know what, though? Yeah. Like, when the year before Allen was drafted, so this would be 2017, there was a thing about how at that draft, Schefter or Mortensen, or both maybe, were like, this is your number one player next year, was Josh Allen. And, I mean, he wasn't, but he almost was. And
I mean, it was the same thing after last year's draft. It ended, and Mel Kiper Jr. was like, let me tell you about this Trey Lance kid from North Dakota.
Yes.
State. I mean, people are getting ahead of the game. And so now you're going to start hearing about Sam Howell and Spencer Rattler and Malik Willis from Liberty. I mean, these are the quarterbacks that people are watching now to get ready for next year.
All right. Well, I'll have to fit that in.
I took some notes there. I'm good.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark. A pleasure as always.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great weekend.